At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Austin, can you hear me?
I got you, Jay. Welcome into the show.
I can't hear you.
Oh, dang. We'll restart this. We'll kick Jay out of the stream. I'll text Jay. Welcome in to Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Special ingredients and butcher shop, every type of meat and every type of cut. This is Old School, again, brought to you by the Mercado. I'm going to text Jay real quick, have him exit the stream and come back in. Lots to get to on the show today. We'll get to the rundown here and then get on with the show. All right, so Jay's rundown for the day on the show looks like this. Super Bowl week. What do you do? What do you not do when you attend the Super Bowl? Of course, this one being played in New Orleans. Jay Foreman has certainly spent his fair share of time down in Nollins at the Superdome there, a city with a lot of history. Positive and negative, Super Bowl and otherwise. So we'll get to Jay Foreman, Super Bowl's do's and don'ts. Jay was down there when the Rams and Patriots played in New Orleans. We'll hear what Jay's experience was when we get him reconnected in stream. College football news to get to as well, especially from Ohio State. Ryan Day, a contract for $12.5 million per year. Brian Hartline named the offensive coordinator and the play caller. Let's see now. Earth to Jay Foreman. Come in, Jay. You got us.
Dude, I can't hear you.
Oh, geez. This is a problem. All right. Let's have Jay call the studio line here. Call the studio line.
All right. We'll
put Jay through here in just a second. Have him on video as well. So, yeah, Ryan Day signs a contract extension with Ohio State worth about $12.5 million per year. Brian Hartline becomes Ohio State's offensive coordinator and play caller. They lose three coaches as well. Then NBA trade deadline. Strick and I talked about this a little bit earlier. We'll get Jay's thoughts on the NBA trade deadline as well. Did the Warriors get enough? Did they do enough to get Jimmy Butler? Was that the right move for them? What did they have to give up to acquire Jimmy Butler? Did that end up being worth it, or what should they do? All right, let's try it one final time here to bring in Jay Foreman. All right, third time's the charm, Jay? Third time's the charm?
Hey man, I'm on the struggle bus. I'm down, man.
He's back.
I don't admit defeat, man. I'm defeated today, Austin. I'm just telling you. I don't care. Text line. I need some help, man. It's body's broke down. You know, gotta get operated on. Brother's sick. I got that man-made disease, Austin.
Oh no. Brutal.
Hey brutal, man.
Here.
You know, they thought they was trying to knock us off, man. They trying the hardest to get your boy going, man. You know, I don't even know where I'm trying to, you know, Austin, before we get into it, you know, when you get real sick, you always wonder who gave it to you.
Oh yeah. Try to trace it back. Oh yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But, man, you know, so nah, but everything's all good though, man.
That's so simple for me, cause I got a 16 month old at home, so I can just kind of point the finger one direction, but, a little trickier for you. You're saying.
Yeah, you can't be mad at little man. You
no,
know
I
what I mean? Yeah, you can't be mad at little man. But I heard you talking about Ryan Day. You know, it's his day. I mean, you know, I think, you know, when you read it and, you know, looking over, the script that we had, is that, I mean, what was it? So they played right around Thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. Michigan.
2 days after. Yeah.
Two days after Thanksgiving, he was dead in the water. And you know, everybody wanted him fired. They were talking about his buyout. Then that kind of, you know, pumped the brakes a little bit, because I think his buyout was, you know, mid 20 million, right? Or something like that. It was pretty high number, at least what I thought it was. And then everybody thought it was going to be a mass exodus of players, and neither happened. And, you know, Jack Sawyer came out and Will Howard said, well, we got nothing else to do but win a national championship. And it, you know, came to fruition, obviously. And they were, you know, the best roster this year. Not a complete dominating roster, but the best roster. And they were playing the best. And then Ryan Day probably didn't get enough credit, because when people talk about this national championship, they talk about the money, right, and what they spent. But they spent money on guys that he had recruited and developed to get him to stay for a bigger purpose. So I think part of him getting a new contract and being the second highest paid right below Kirby Smart, okay, is, number one, he just won a national championship. Number two, I'm sure he was going to have other suitors, and that's just probably the way it goes. You win another national championship, you're going to get a pay bump, and especially when it's your first one. But then also, I think they feel, you can't discredit him and the leadership skills for him to keep the team bought in, keep them motivated, keep them focused, and then also deliver on a promise that seemed far-fetched however many weeks ago. I mean, you got to think, it was a 50-50 where people thought whether they were going to be able to beat Tennessee. And whether we went back and forth about Tennessee's defensive line. Ohio State had offensive line troubles, but they had an extra week, actually, to get ready and get guys healthy, get some continuity, and then they took off from there. So Ryan Day can definitely he looks like a wine drinker. I don't think he drinks any. You think he drinks whiskey or anything?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, where is Ryan Day from? I know he went to New Hampshire, but is that where he's born?
He's from New Hampshire, he's probably
he's from New Hampshire.
Oh, that's
moonshine guy. That's backwoods.
Moonshine?
I think
or is it like vodka cranberry?
Ooh, that could be that
Cape,
too.
That's Cape Codder, right? That's what the drink is called, Cape Codder.
Ah, okay. I'll take your word for it. No, see, I when I look at Ryan Day, I do get, I mean, especially without the beard, I could totally see him being like vodka cranberry guy. But then he gets the beard on, you look like bouncer-ish, right? Because he's pretty small, pretty chopped up. So bearded Ryan Day is definitely just like straight Russian vodka or whiskey. But beardless Ryan Day is a little softer, maybe a little fruitier drink guy. That's how I view it.
Yeah, Ryan Day is either gets pounded or he's a warm cognac guy. You ever see any? I can see him in like a silk robe or something like that, sitting by the fireplace, just thinking about how great the season was. But nevertheless, he got paid. He can drink whatever he wants when he wants, and he's a big man on campus. And one of the, I guess, byproducts of when you win is you start to lose coaches. You lose players, obviously, to the next level, and then maybe some to the portal, but you lose some coaches. I mean, just imagine those 48 hours after winning. You lose Chip Kelly. Jim Knowles was kind of spicy, right, about the money. Mm-hmm. And then you lose your offensive line coach to the NFL. So, the three kind of stalwarts, or three of the main stalwarts were gone. I mean, you got two left over, and they got a really good coaching staff, but two left over and Brian Hartline and obviously Larry Johnson Sr. Mm-hmm. That keep, that's the three-headed monster that keeps this thing going, because the two coordinators were new guys that he brought in to, better what they did before. So it's going to be interesting to see how they recover from that. It will never be a talent issue, because they always recruit well. I think he had one of the best recruiting classes this year, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how he does from a coordinator standpoint. More importantly, how Brian Hartline does, because you go from a master. I'd probably say he's the best wide receiver coach out there.
And not just recruiting, but actually like making sure he gets the most out of those guys.
Right.
He has it on easy mode with the talent, but he's also not wasting the talent, which is to his credit.
Right. Yeah, he's getting, just guys upon the guys. So how's that going to help? How's that going to hurt him? Or how is that going to affect how he calls plays? Because is he going to be more pass-oriented because that's what he's used to doing? Or will he be able to lean on the run? Or will Ryan Day kind of assist him and step in when need be. And then obviously you got to go on the defensive side and see what you can do there and reshape that identity, because I think Jim Knowles struggled at first, right? When you go back to Oregon a couple years ago, made adjustments, and then now he's gone. So the identity is of him is there, but actually the fabric of the players are gone because they're all going to, not all of them, but majority of them are going to the NFL. So it's a complete transition in Ohio State internally. Not you know, and so it's not as on easy street. It's a byproduct of winning, but you didn't think it was going to be that this rapid.
Are you a little surprised, or how surprised are you that Ryan Day isn't taking back play calling duties and instead is handing them over to Brian Hartline?
Well, I think he had success this year, you know, allowing Chip Kelly to call plays. But I think maybe that's part of the reason why, you know, how you keep a wide receiver coach extraordinaire like Brian Hartline here or there, you know, not here.
Yeah.
To add to his resume, and to, I'm sure he has aspirations, and this is the time is right for Brian Hartline to do some more. I mean, how many more first round picks are you going to do? You're going to recruit
15 more first round picks in the next 3 years, or else you're fired.
Bro. Right. Right. It's like, you know, a down year for him, he's going to have 2 second rounds and a fourth round guy, you know, and you know, a bunch of Mike Thomases out there. Remember Mike Thomas that was fourth round to the Saints. And so I think it's probably time for him. I also think it could be a time for Brian Hartline to potentially move on and become a head coach somewhere. I think he has the recruiting factor. Obviously, I think he has the younger look, and I think he's starting to see a little bit. I think he's built up the confidence in himself. Not that he's already not confident, but I think some guys, you know, just like being receiver coaches, and he's done that and dominated. But I think he also probably see when head coaches are getting paid, but then also the opportunity. Because there's not you're starting to see head coaches go and leave and be coordinators. That opens up for guys that are coordinators that want to be head coaches, and young guys too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at Ohio State, and then also how they rebuild the team, and then how they deal with winning a modern day, or I don't know, I guess a modern day or realistic newer day version of a national championship.
It's never rebuild. It's always reload for Ohio State. They would tell you as much. It's championship or bust expectations.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But I'm curious to see just how many lessons the younger guys on the team will be able to have taken away from this group, right? Especially, Jay, in this day and age, right, where there is so much turnover, where Ohio State is such a major player in the transfer portal. You've talked about it. Other guys on the station have talked about it, right? The benefits of waiting your turn, of biding your time, of working in the shadows. And then even if people on the outside didn't know your name, they knew, or they had faith that the coaching staff would have you guys ready to step up into the void. In this day and age of just how covered and popular college athletics are and the transfer portal and how big a deal it is, I think we've lost some sense of wonder, surprise, and even faith in coaching staffs to develop the guys that had to sit and wait, right? The third-year juniors, the second-year redshirt freshmen that didn't get on the field because they were behind seniors. All these guys were recruited for a reason. I would assume most of it is because, hey, they were good players in high school. The coaching staff liked them. They wanted to invest that developmental time in them. But in the transfer portal day and age, it's if I don't immediately know who the replacement is for this guy that's, you know, going to make an NFL training camp roster, we're screwed. It's a big question mark. No, yeah. It's wait and see, because you don't recruit guys unless you think there's something to them. I think generally speaking, most coaching staffs deserve a little bit more benefit of the doubt. And certainly the players do too, where as much as they tell you, oh, we don't hear it, we're focused on ourselves. You know that, you know, the second string linebacker that's just looking for his shot doesn't want to see Marquise Watson-Trent come in and, you know, have to compete. Wants to compete, right?
Right.
But he feels confident in his abilities. He was on the roster last year, the second stringer, that is. And he feels confident, ready to go and step up into that void. You got to welcome competition. But I think we as college sports fans, and especially college football fans in general, have just gotten so used to the transfer portal and having that immediate replacement that we don't you know, give the backups, the guys that are young and developing, their opportunity in our minds to be the next guy to take over. We're expecting transfer portal, or else it's a big question mark.
Yeah, man, I call it the Chia Pet mentality. It's the mentality of you pour water on athletes, and next thing you know, they're full blown NFL all pros, and it doesn't work like that. You know, Jeremiah Smith is a rare case. That's why he's Jeremiah Smith. So, you know, I think also sometimes people get caught up in this transfer portal that's where the answers are. And that's not sometimes, you know, that's where you go and get options and some answers, but you also like to build your own answers and formulate your own answers, you know, in-house. And so it's a catch 22, how you manage your roster. The most important thing I think that's also missing though with the athletes is that if I'm coming out in 2024 or if I came out in 2023 and there's guys on the roster from 2022 or whatever, they were good players too. Mm-hmm. So just because you're on campus, I didn't reinvent the linebacker position. You know what I'm saying? They didn't just start playing linebacker when I got here. There was greats. There's Ed Stewart. There's Troy Dumas. All these guys that were really, really good players. And that's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You go down to Alabama, there's going to be guys on the roster you never even thought about because you've been so caught up in yourself and your recruiting, rightfully so, that you get down there, you're like, man, these dudes look like me. They move a lot faster than me. And what I got going on, at least as an 18-year-old freshman, isn't that big a deal. And so that's a harsh reality check of a lot of guys. And then they want to go back in the portal and think they can get the quick, easy answer there. And so there is a catch-22 because a lot of young kids, you know, rightfully so, they want to play early. And they got a lot of the power because they can just jump in the portal if they don't, you know, see or get what they want. And some guys know they need the red shirt, right? Generally, unless offensive linemen are really, really physically gifted in size and strength, they need a year or two for sure. And that's on the low end. Other positions, you can come in and get busy right away. But ultimately, you know, the longer you can nurture a guy and get him ready up, get up to speed, both, you know, physically, mentally and spiritually, you know, he'll be ready to play and not just be a splash. You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to be able to be a player that shows that he's good in year one, gets better in year two, maximum year three, while somebody else is in year one where they're in year three. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah. So that's what they're searching for. And ultimately it'll be interesting. And a lot of it's dictated on winning,
right?
Winning buys you time, but guess what winning does? Look at Ryan Day. You lose coaches. So Austin Orman could have coached me, developed me. Now you're a coordinator. Now the new coach might bring in either his players or portal guys. And so you got to really kind of like, it's a lot of management going on. It's definitely changing every day. I don't envy them at all. But then also I understand they get paid the big bucks. So that, you know, they got enough money to figure it out. And then hopefully the guys that are able to figure it out more readily and more often definitely last a lot longer.
With all the questions facing Ohio State, I mean, new quarterback going to be there, both running backs off to the NFL draft, both coordinators and another coach gone, like you mentioned. Where do you put Ohio State in the Big Ten or as it stands right now? Are they the favorite because they're the defending champs? Do you put it behind Oregon? Do you move Penn State ahead of them? Where about right now is Ohio State? Top tier, but not number one?
Yeah, they're probably top four. I'd probably say Oregon, Penn State, right? They got the most guys coming back, I think. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Michigan, Ohio State, Nebraska,
Indiana. Illinois won 10 games.
Yeah, then it's kind of a hodgepodge. But I think Ohio State is on that upper echelon of that second tier. But ultimately, this spring is going to be one of the most competitive springs that Ryan Day's probably ever had. And so it's going to be, you know, energized and energize that whole staff is that they're going to have a brand new team. It's kind of like almost like what we have at Nebraska. Now, and we'll get into this real quick before we go to break. The security of Ty Robinson, Nash, Gifford, Hill, I guess you could throw Fedoni in there. All those Bryce, I guess, you know, whether you like, love them or hate Bryce Benhart, those guys, those are all gone. So as mad as you used to get at him because you wanted him to be the next Zach Wiegert, right? Or I'm just telling you, it's the honest God truth, right? You wanted they don't want anything to do with the 90s, but they want him to play like Zach Wiegert and those guys. And so you get mad. You don't appreciate what they did here because I do think Bryce Benhart played his best football this year, most consistent. That's all gone. And so now you're going to see a lot of new faces. Now you got a couple guys out of portal in the offensive line, but you think across the defensive line, you had guys leave. You had, James Williams. And we can dive into that a little bit probably in the short segment there before we get, turn it over to WTF. But there's a lot of guys gone that you had seen around here through the transition from Frost, Mickey, Coach Rhule are gone. New faces, new energy, new tone. It's going to be interesting to see how it all works out.
And it's going to be interesting to see how Husker fans react to it, right? Because who knows who's going to come in ready to step into those spots you mentioned that were vacated. Who knows where there's going to be issues, right? We can have our preseason projections and whatnot. We can wait till spring ball and see. We can wait till after fall camp and see. But something's going to pop up during the year. Maybe it's a spot you thought was going to be solid, and then all of a sudden there's a hole, whether it's due to injury or underperformance. Maybe there's a big question that's going to be answered because someone rises to the challenge and meets it. We don't know what that is, right? And to be completely fair, we saw the ceiling of that group of guys was 6-6. Maybe it was higher, but they proved that they were 6-6. 7-6 with the bowl win, and that's not...
Well, awesome. Awesome. Give a little break. Give them a break, though.
Hey now. But at the same time, the floor was that Nebraska was competitive, generally speaking, right? Because, maybe they didn't win every game. Clearly they didn't, right? We know that they missed out on a bowl game by one game in year one of Rhule. We knew they were, a play here, a play there away from winning a few more games. Right. We know that. But they were generally competitive, right? There was a relatively high floor with those guys that we don't want to take for granted, right? Maybe the next group has a higher ceiling than those guys did by the time they were seniors, but they're also probably not as physically mature. They surely don't have the mental, database to rely on in the heat of the moment to try to step up and make the next play. So the floor might be lower. And that's where, the non-conference is going to be key to see who steps up, who's ready to go early on. And then, from there, who's ready when conference play starts, when it really ramps up? Who's ready coming out of the first bye week for Nebraska, re-energized, stepping up and making plays? And who on the team is ready to play 12 games, not just pop in for a couple weeks at a time or a month at a time? We don't know. You generally knew what you were going to get from all those guys you mentioned, from the positive side and the negative side. Right now, there's a lot of unknowns for Nebraska, and that's not a comfortable place to be as a fan, which is where the advice is be patient, not jump to conclusions.
Yeah, hopefully they don't start taking charts of the starting lineups that, when you get to a little 10 minutes before spring. And, remember that one year they were having completion percentage when they were doing on air?
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff. So, I think it's an opportune time. There's a lot of options, and this is the time for these guys to become answers. And everybody from player one, I think Matt Rhule said he let people know where they were in that 105, right? Mm-hmm. From number one to 105 to 126, you all got to get better. You got to get a lot better if you're trying to get where this thing could be really, really, jumping. And that's in the college football playoffs. And so every day counts. Every day's 4th-and-1. And do not relax being in this little bubble of Nebraska getting patted on the back, because the guys that are, the other 17 teams or 17 teams in the Big Ten definitely do not care what's going on here in Lincoln. So you always have to have that in the back of your mind. So we're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to talk about Super Bowl week. Media row is pretty much over, Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about my experience in New Orleans. something that I can talk about on air, something I can't. But then also talk about the how I think from Thursday to Sunday, some teams have lost this game. It has nothing to do with play calling, more or less just focusing in and doing what you need to do. So Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, Old School. Quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.